Good morning. Good mororning. Welcome to Bowmanville. It's good to see each one of you here today as we gather to worship the one true and living God this morning. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping here today, along with those who are joining us via live stream today. So receive this call to worship this morning. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Your word is life and truth. We have come here this morning to receive it. Like the rain that waters the earth, let your word water our lives. Let it wash over us like the waves of the sea. I ask in the powerful name of Jesus, you would quiet the voices around us today so that we might be able to hear your voice alone. I pray this through the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Would you please join the worship team in singing praises to the King?
I would invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Washed away on the blood.
Invite the ushers to come forward at this time as we take this morning's offering. And there's also the My Coins count for the kids.
Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that are gathered here today. We pray a blessing upon this offering, Lord, the tithes that have been brought forth, Lord. We ask a blessing upon them, Lord, that they would be used in our youth ministries, Lord, in Club 26, and in our youth group and quizzing, and the people that are involved in them, Lord, that they would strengthen our youth as they grow in this church, Lord, that they would bring honor to you, Lord, and knowledge, that they would spread the gospel throughout this community, and they would grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Bible, that they would spread that throughout this community, Lord. We asked all these things in your name. Amen.
Save your love for me.
Sight of that, and just want to pray for Larry this morning that you would speak through him, give him the words to say that we need to hear from you this morning. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward for the children's message this morning. Plenty of room down here. Look at that. Big wide open space. Perfect. Well, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, I brought a few things along with me today. You ever see anything like that before? There's a seat right down there for you. You bet. What are they?
Markers.
Markers. What do you use markers for?
Colors. They're highlighters.
Actually, highlighters.
Some of them are Sharpie.
Wow, you're pretty observant. Some of them are Sharpies. What do you use them for?
Coloring,
writing.
I like highlight stuff and like write words.
Yeah, that's right. Use them for all those things. Well, I was watching a TV show the one time, and there was this little guy who had a baby brother or sister. Guess what he did? He took a marker and he went all over the baby's brother or sister's head. And his mother walked into the room and said, What are you doing? He said, well, he didn't have no hair. He didn't have any hair, so he gave him hair with a marker. So I don't recommend or suggest that you use a marker to do that.
Yeah, because they'll just grow their hair as they grow up.
Exactly. The hair will grow by itself, yes. It doesn't need any assistance. So, like you said, Paige, though, we use some of these for highlighters.
Yeah, and they're highlighter markers.
Right. So you use them to highlight things you want to remember when you're sharing with people, right?
Like Bible memory stuff.
Right, exactly. That's what I was getting to. So in my Bible... In my Bible, I got all kinds of things that are highlighted and marked.
Like verses.
Yeah, verses. All those things.
Whoa.
So if you look through my Bible, you'll see all kinds of things like that.
And all kinds of colors.
Right, all different colors. So it's easy to find them when you're looking for them when it's highlighted. So I would suggest to you today that you take God's Word and highlight it by... hiding it in your heart. That's a way to highlight it. Memorize it, highlight it, and then when you're going through life and you experience things you can remember, recall those verses that will help you through life. So one of those verses is Psalm 119, 105, which says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So you can remember that God's word.
I know that song.
You know that song. Very good. We're not going to sing it. But remember to use God's word as you go throughout life and recall it, remember it. And when you get your Bible, highlight some verses that are special to you. That way you can find them and they mean a lot to you. Okay? So I have a snack for you. I have a word of prayer first and then you can get a snack and return back to your parents. Thank you, God, for these children. I ask for a special blessing upon them today as they hear your word. And as they read your word and as they memorize your word, may it be a light to their path. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's a snack there at the end of the bench. Well, greetings to each one of you in the strong name of Jesus Christ, and thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message this morning. So before we get into the message, I'd just like to pause and have a word of prayer for the Wise family as the memorial service is at 2:30 this afternoon. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your presence in our lives, and I just pray right now in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would surround Anna Mae and her family with your presence, and I pray that you would pour out your comfort upon them as they go through the service this afternoon, remembering the life of Alvin. So we ask again for your presence, your peace, and your comfort to fill them and surround them. And now as we look into your word here this morning, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would show us more and more of who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday in Lent. So thank you for your prayers again. And the theme for this Lent series is created in the image of God and shaped by Jesus. So today we're going to be looking at shaped by testing as we start in Genesis with Adam and Eve and then look into Jesus being tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4 1 to 11. So I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, and then jumping over to chapter 3. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And jumping over to chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So God gave Adam the responsibility to care for the garden and told him not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So why would God place a tree in the garden and then forbid Adam to eat from it? I think it's because God's desire was that Adam would obey him and not eat from the tree. But rather than physically preventing him from eating, God gave Adam a choice. So when God gave Adam the choice, obviously the choice to choose wrongly was also an option. And without choice, Adam would have been like a robot, and his obedience would have been very hollow. So the choices God provides are ultimately between life and the sad consequences of spiritual death. God still gives us choices today, and I often choose wrongly. Wrong choices may cause us pain, but they can also help us to learn and to grow and become more and more like Jesus, if that's what we truly desire. So in Genesis 3, after God had created Eve to be a helper for Adam, Satan, disguised as a crafty serpent, came to tempt Eve. He tempted Eve by getting her to doubt God's goodness. He implied that God was strict, that God was stingy, and God was selfish for not wanting Eve to share his knowledge of good and evil. By implying these things, he helped Eve to forget all that God had given to her and instead focus on the one thing she wasn't allowed to have. So how often do you and I do the same thing? We have countless blessings from the hand of God. But so often, I dwell on the few things that I wish I would have. Too often, we believe the illusion that freedom is doing anything that we desire to do. But God says that true freedom comes from obedience and knowing what not to do. The restrictions God gives us are for our own good, helping us to avoid evil and much pain and heartache. So it seems like Satan used a good motive to tempt Eve in verses 4 and 5. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." It wasn't wrong for Eve to want to be like God. Because I believe as a born-again believer that that should be our calling. To allow the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts, to become more and more like Jesus. But you see, Satan misled Eve by concerning the right way to accomplish this goal. He told her that she could become more like God by defying his authority, by taking God's place and deciding for herself what was best for her life. In effect, Satan told her that she should become her own God. Sounds a lot like what we hear in the world today. We need to clearly understand that striving to be like God is not the same as trying to become God. Striving to reflect God's characteristics and recognizing his authority over our lives is what we are called to do. As soon as we leave God out of our plans, we're placing ourselves above God, or we're trying to be our own God. So understand this morning that God doesn't want you to become a God. His desire for you is to become godly. Taking on his values, taking on his servant attitude and his character. Another thing that's important to notice here is in this passage is what happened after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. After sinning, Adam and Eve felt guilt and shame over their nakedness. Their guilty feelings made them try to hide from God. A guilty conscience is a warning signal that God has placed within us that goes off when you do something wrong. So as a boy, I remember sitting here in this church and hearing Paul Z. Martin saying, when we sin, our guilty conscience sets off a beeper that we need to pay attention to. I distinctly remember hearing him say that several times. When that beeper goes off is when we need to ask God for forgiveness. And I think it's very important to also not just ask God for forgiveness, but then to walk in the forgiveness that we receive from God and not allow Satan to continue to nag our minds and our hearts with those feelings of guilt. It's also very important to understand that God's ultimate goal for your life here on this earth is not comfort, but for character development, or allowing your heart and your mind to be shaped more and more into God's image. I very strongly believe that one of those major components of spiritual growth is to replace Satan's lies with God's truth in our lives. To replace Satan's lies with God's truth in our lives. To become more and more like Jesus, we must fill our minds and our hearts with God's word. In John 17, where Jesus is praying for his disciples, it says this in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So for the born-again believer, we become sanctified, which means to be set apart for sacred use, to be cleansed and made holy. That happens by believing and obeying the word of God. Daily application of God's word to our lives has a purifying effect on our minds and our hearts. That's what Hebrews 4:12 tells us. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, the Word of God is not just simply a collection of God's Word or words from God to communicate with us, but is also living. It is life-changing and is dynamic as it works within us, transforming us. The Word of God was not given to us to increase our knowledge, but to change and transform our lives. God's Word points out our sin, motivates us to confess and repent of our sin, which renews our relationship with God and guides us back onto the right path. Temptation and testing are Satan's invitation to give into his way of life, or to give into his way of life, and to give up on God's way of living our lives. So Satan tempted Adam and Eve and succeeded in getting them to sin. And ever since then, he's been very busy inviting people to engage in sin. He even tempted and tested Jesus. So we're going to look at Matthew's account of Satan tempting and testing Jesus in the desert in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This testing and temptation of Jesus shows us the humanness of Jesus. I believe it also shows us that Jesus was given the opportunity to reaffirm God's plan for his ministry. If you will notice in verses 3 and verse 6, Satan calls into question God's identity. If you are the Son of God. It seems to me that Satan knew full well that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, but just maybe he could get Jesus to doubt his identity as the Son of God. At the end of Matthew 3, where Jesus' baptism is recorded, as Jesus comes up out of the water, there's a voice from heaven which says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So God makes it very clear who Jesus is. So perhaps this morning we need to hear God's affirmation that we are indeed one of his children. If we have confessed and repented of our sin and asked God for his forgiveness, and then we are indeed one of God's children. We are a child of the living God. So here's an important question to consider. Will we, God's children, created in the image of Almighty God, use the gift of choice that God has given to us to affirm and strengthen our identity as a child of God? Life is full of challenging experiences with many opportunities for temptation and testing. Many opportunities to affirm our identity as a child of God or yield to temptation. The temptations that Jesus faced focused on three crucial areas, and I suggest to you this morning that these three areas are the same areas that we face temptation in today. First of all, physical needs and desires. Secondly, possessions and power. And third, pride. We just read about each of those temptations that Jesus faced here in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was able to resist all of Satan's temptations because he not only knew Scripture, he knew the truth, but also because he obeyed it and applied it to his life. Ephesians 6:17 tells us that God's word is a sword for us to use in spiritual combat. Notice that Satan also knew Scripture, but he didn't obey it. He twisted it to try and entice Jesus to sin. So the good news is that Jesus Christ didn't sin and was able to fulfill his mission as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who was willing to die on the cross for my sins and your sin. The even greater news is he also rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. Therefore, providing a way for us, sinful men and women, sinful boys and girls, to be reconciled back to God and have a relationship with the Creator of the universe restored. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Praise God that he has provided a way through his Son. So the title of this message is Shaped by Testing. I believe we could also say growing through testing. So I'd like to briefly explore ways that we can grow. Because James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. On the pathway of spiritual growth, we will face temptations. We will face testing. We must view temptations and testing as opportunities, as stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. Every temptation and test is an opportunity to do the right thing. Every time you choose to do the right thing, you're growing as you're being transformed into the character of God. So what is the character of God? Well, I believe that one of the most concise descriptions of God's character is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23a. The New Living Translation says this: when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When these fruits are growing in our lives, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, we need to understand that most fruit grows and ripens slowly. The same is true for these fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God develops the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives by allowing us to experience circumstances in our lives where we're tempted to express the exact opposite quality of or fruit. Character development always involves a choice, and temptation and testing provide that opportunity. So, for example, God teaches us love by placing hard-to-love people in our lives. Because it doesn't take much character to love someone who loves you. But it takes the Holy Spirit's presence and power to love someone who is unloving towards you. God teaches us real joy in the midst of sorrow if and when we turn to Him. Happiness depends on eternal circumstances. It depends on what happens to you. Joy is based on our relationship with God. God develops real peace within us, not by allowing everything to go smoothly just the way that we planned it, but by allowing times of chaos and confusion. See, anyone can be peaceful watching a beautiful sunset or relaxing on vacation. We learn real peace by choosing to trust God in circumstances in which we are tempted to worry or be fearful. And the same is true of every other fruit of the Holy Spirit. I believe that one of the things that we need to remember is that the closer we walk with God, the more Satan will ramp up his attacks to try and distract and discourage us. And another thing I believe is that we never outgrow temptation and or testing. So actually, in a sense, we can consider temptation and testing as a compliment. Understand this morning, Satan hates you with a hatred that you can't even begin to imagine. Because of our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. On the other hand, also remember that God loves you with a deep love, that He was willing to send His Son to die for us. And we often have a hard time comprehending and understanding the depth of God's love for us as well. We are shaped and transformed through temptation and testing. Temptation and testing help us to keep us dependent upon God and not try and do things in our own strength. So let me close with this. Someone once said, if you look around at what's happening in the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you're probably going to be depressed. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you look at Jesus, you will be at rest. The secret to endurance is to remember that your pain and the testing and the temptation that you face here on this earth are only temporary. Your heavenly reward will be eternal. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that you speak to us. And we recognize this morning that we face many temptations, we face many testings as we journey through this life here in this earth, in this fallen world. And I want to pray in the powerful and strong name of Jesus Christ that you would help us to keep our eyes focused upon you so we can be at rest. And I ask that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work, changing us, transforming us, helping us to develop those fruits of the Holy Spirit that reflect who you are. We love you this morning, and we desire to be more and more like you as we journey through this life. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. Thank you for your message, Larry. Thank you for your challenge and your encouragement. Amen. We are going to have a time of prayer for Larry and Sandy as we commission them as an extension of Bowmansville Church as Larry is working in his role as chaplain. He is working at Brubacher Excavating. As a chaplain there, Larry is currently ordained as associate pastor. He will have dual roles, dual credentials. He will also be credentialed as chaplain, and that will be from LMC through Bowmansville. Larry will receive oversight from our Bishop Eric, as well as myself, as he fulfills this role of a chaplain. So I'd like to invite Larry and Sandy to come forward, and we'd just like to have a time of prayer for them and sending them to go in this new role that they are fulfilling. I'd also like to invite anyone of the pastoral team to come forward and join us up here, or any friends and family members can come up as well. We'd just like to gather around them and have a time of prayer and sending for them. So I'd invite you to come forward if you'd like. And if not, just extend a hand as we pray from where you are. So will you join me in prayer as we pray for Larry and Sandy and send them to do this new role and this new work that God has called them to. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this amazing opportunity that you have led Larry and Sandy into, how you have worked and called them to new things. We just thank you for this opportunity that you have blessed them with. Lord, we send them as an extension of our community here to go into the workplace and care for people. You have put a pastor's heart in Larry, and this is the next step that you have showed him where to go. Put a hedge of protection around Larry as he ministers, as he reaches out to people who don't know you, and that he may witness to them that this might be their only opportunity to hear about Jesus. Just give them a boldness. Give them wisdom to handle each situation that comes up. I also pray that you put a hedge of protection around Sandy as she walks alongside of Larry. I just pray that in this time of adjustment and change that it'll go smoothly. Accompany them, walk beside them, carry them in this new adventure and journey that they are on. And I pray that through this, many, many lives will be changed. And that many would come to a personal relationship with Jesus. Give Larry and Sandy encouragement each day as they walk in this ministry opportunity. Lord, we send them. Not just in the name of Bowmansville, we send them in your name. And I just pray that you would make such a difference in the world through this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
Oh, God bless you.
Well, thank you for your attention this morning. So would you stand to receive this parting blessing? From 2 Corinthians 13, 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.